Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 944, Fireside Rant. WTF is going on here? The end of the American century and the Caligulization of America. This is being recorded on January 26th of the year 2017. Let me say at the outset that this program probably is not going to work. I'm going to attempt to encapsulate really WTF is going on here. What is going on here? And what is going on is even worse than what people are saying. And what they are saying is bad enough. This is the end of the American century, not just in the sense that a former State Department officer and Time magazine editor Richard Stengel is talking about. We're going to begin with that article. But literally, I think what is coming is as epical as it is going to be destructive and horrifying. Not only is this going to be the end of brand America, but a horror show of unimaginable proportions is about to engulf this country and the world. And by the time the pinballs of hell, so to speak, have stopped bouncing around the playing board, this country will be finished. And not only Germany, but other powers, particularly Germany, will rule. This is the end of the American century and the beginning of the German century, and also the triumph of the Axis. This also represents the revenge and reemergence of the European crowned heads and their associated aristocracies. In particular, the Habsburgs. That is quite a bit to talk about. I doubt I will succeed in what I am going to attempt to do, but I am going to attempt to do it in part because I think all of my programs about the Truman Kampfverbande and the many aspects of the ascension of Donald Trump have been talked about. I think they need to be wrapped up also. I have spent so much time on that and related topics. There are many other things that I want to get to, and I am going to get to them. However, as bad as things seem to be, they are going to be a whole lot worse. Again, the end of the American century. There is an article in The Atlantic magazine by Richard Stengel, a former editor of Time magazine and a State Department officer, which will tell you something about his ostensible belief in the by now hollow and ironic values expressed by Henry Luce of Time Life Publishing. Henry Luce, in the post-World War II period, collaborated very closely with the very forces that imported the Underground Reich, Alan Dulles et al., presided over the assassination of JFK, which was really the beginning of the end for this country, and have basically run interference for the very forces that are going to destroy this country, really have affected its destruction. When we saw to it that the industrialists and financiers that backed Hitler and the political and national security structures of Nazi Germany were put right back in power in the, quote, federal, the new, unquote, Federal Republic of Germany, minus Hitler himself and a few others. When we saw to it that the forces behind fascism in Japan and Italy were again restored to power, and we not only found common cause with, but incorporated the fascists of Europe, because fascism was not something that was viewed with disfavor by much of our industrial and political, industrial, financial, and political elites. When we did that, we signed our own death warrant, and Henry Luce and Time magazine and the State Department were part and parcel to that. The Axis, the underground Reich, now come back overground and turned into a mass movement, not only in the U.S. but elsewhere. Were like the Praetorian Guard, the Germanic mercenaries who were brought in to safeguard the Emperor of Rome. They ultimately took over, and they kept the Roman Empire going as long as it was still cash effective and was making payments to, among others, the very forces that ultimately under Alaric were to sack Rome in the end. Something similar is happening here, and in fact, I think the subversion of the United States, the most powerful military and economic power the world has ever seen, was undertaken with the downfall of Rome, the decline of Rome as a role model. No country could hope to invade and conquer the U.S. militarily, even if we didn't have the atomic bomb. Our oceans, our powerful navy, and other elements of our powerful military would have prevented that, plus a simple economic giant, the enormous size of our economy would have prevented that, because it would have led to a global economic collapse. Something may very well happen as a result of what Donald Trump and the company are doing. The late Hunter S. Thompson said of Richard Nixon, he knows as much about economics as he does about the Grateful Dead. I think the same thing could be said about Trump. Who knows? He may know more about the Grateful Dead. I think Donald Trump must be seen, however, as a corrupt and frankly mentally ill emperor who is being maintained by the Praetorian Guard. Trump is basically a figurehead with others calling the shots, and whoever is calling the shots, and I think it's pretty clear as I attempted to set forth in the long series about the Trump and Confirmanda, that is the underground Reich. It has now come back overground in the form of a mass political movement that is ruling the U.S., and surging forward in other countries as well, not just Europe, but in the form of the RSS and its cat's paw, the BJP in India, and other places as well. From the Atlantic magazine of January 26th of 2017, The End of the American Century, the country is subtitled, "The country's role as a global model and guarantor of freedom and rule of law is being brought to an end by Trump." It's by Richard Stengel, S-T-E-N-G-E-L. It reads in part, "In 1941, a year before America entered World War II, Henry Luce, the founder and publisher of Time, wrote an essay called The American Century," unquote. It was an argument not just against isolationism, but for America as a global moral beacon. Luce, by the way, that's L-U-C-E, the son of American missionaries to China, wrote that America must, quote, "accept wholeheartedly our duty and our opportunity as the most powerful and vital nation in the world, and in consequence exert upon the world the full impact of our influence," unquote. That vision, he wrote, was only possible if it reflected, quote, "a passionate devotion to great American ideals," unquote. He enumerated them as a love of freedom and justice, equality of opportunity, and a commitment to truth and charity and cooperation. The inaugural address of Donald Trump did not contain the word justice or cooperation or ideals or morals or truth or charity. It has only one reference to freedom. It did mention carnage and crime and tombstones and a variety of words never uttered before in the presidential inauguration. Since then, the president has doubled down on his desire to build a wall on America's southern border and has said his administration will reevaluate accepting refugees from designated Muslim countries and cut back by half the relatively small number of refugees accepted by the Obama administration. "I spent 7 years as editor of Time before I worked in the State Department as Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs. while I was editor of Time, I never wanted to be the first of Luce's successors to pronounce the end of the American century. In part, this was because of a misunderstanding of the term. Most people thought it meant American power or hegemony, and there was not much diminution in America's global power. What it really means is America as a global model and guarantor of freedom and rule of law and fairness. Trump's administration is the death knell of the American century. Well, again, when you're talking about, you know, America as a global model and guarantor of freedom and rule of law and fairness, that will no doubt come as a very educational pronouncement to a great many people who have been bent beneath the lash of American covert operations or have cowered in underground bunkers while American military forces bombed you-know-what out of them. And I think that ultimately, even those truths which are marketed still very effectively by this country's PR machine are going to diminish. And ultimately, as I indicated in the long Trump and Kampf Verbande series, especially for the record 918 and 919, ultimately, I think American military power will be subverted by the economic and social collapse of the U.S. And I think ultimately an EU army and military power will replace NATO in Europe. And ultimately, I think Russia, which is looking at a good cop, bad cop scenario with America as the bad cop, and in turn its national security establishment being run by the very same, or controlled by the very same underground Reich that is in control in Europe and that is officially running the quote populist slash alt-right unquote movements in Europe. I think that with NATO moving troops right up to Russia's border, and with Russia that has said in no uncertain terms they're not going to try to match America's economic buildup, instead making it very clear to Europeans that rather than trying to match America's military buildup, which would be impossible, which would destroy Russia economically, the U.S. spends three times as much on defense as Russia and China put together. And ultimately, you, the taxpayers, are paying for that. When the Trump administration and the right wing talk about holding down government spending, they do not mean on defense. And ultimately, it will become quite clear to people in Europe that the price of continuing to dance to the American tune will ultimately be the very severe risk of nuclear war, or at least, quote, limited, unquote, not the quotes, limited nuclear war in Europe, which will be the end of Europe. And I think ultimately, I don't know what the time frame will be, the very things that were being articulated in the open letter to Stalin in the Bogart Zeitung in 1949, and which were then reiterated by the German press talking about the response in 1952 to that open letter to Stalin, this by the former Soviet Union. They were openly talking about Germany establishing a third way between the Soviet Union, which doesn't exist, Russia is not communist, and the U.S. They were talking about the end of NATO and the unification of Europe under German domination. That was in the late 40s and early 50s. The latter has happened. I think the former will happen. And ultimately, I don't know the time frame, but I'm expecting an all-EU military to replace NATO. And I think that the very saber-rattling and reckless warmongering policies that we are pursuing in Europe will backfire. And they will also, to an extent, intimidate Russia into forming a compromise over Ukraine. There is already some walking back of Ukraine joining NATO. I think that will be something that Putin slash Russia will agree to. And also, I think ultimately there will be some sort of economic union, a trade union or something along those lines. This is already being discussed, stretching from Lisbon in Portugal to Vladivostok on Russia's northeastern border with the ocean. This will be controlled, in effect, by Germany, and it will place a Germany that will be seen as level-headed, which, you know, frankly, even though the Underground Reich controls its institutions, the Third Reich, the SS, and its strategists were very far-sighted and are very intelligent, and they saw with the advent of weapons of mass destruction that the need to rally one's workers to crank out tanks and warplanes by the hundreds, and the need to rally one's workers and citizens to sign up for the military en masse only to be scythed down by the modern instruments of war, that was no longer operable. And although the institutions of Germany, its national security establishment, and its core corporations remained firmly under the control of the Underground Reich and the remarkable and deadly Bormann Capital Network, it is not evident in Germany. To even begin to sum up German society would be well beyond the scope of this. In many ways, Germany is incredibly more civilized than the U.S. Their environmental policy is optimum. Their policy toward labor relations are far superior to ours, at least, although they are altogether brutal in dealing with many other countries. Just ask the Greeks. However, I think that the very branding of the U.S., as we saw in that Atlantic Magazine article, that will defer to Germany, which will be seen as the more reasonable of the powers, and it will be seen as the role model to follow. It will also be at the epicenter of an all-EU army, and an EU which, although under attack, is very likely to survive in some fashion, or even if it doesn't, Germany and what they are calling a core Europe involving France, the Netherlands, possibly Italy, and other countries will dominate Europe and ultimately, I expect, the trade union stretching from Lisbon to Vladivostok to become a reality. Russia will arrive at some sort of concession or concessions vis-a-vis Ukraine in order to avoid a catastrophic nuclear war. And ultimately, that will be what we are seeing. I think that is what we are seeing. Again, this is an awful lot, really impossible, but I'm doing the best I can. I spoke about my feelings about where this was going to go and what Trump's statements about EU and about NATO were ultimately going to precipitate, and the pronouncements by the Underground Reich in 49 and 52 through the open letter to Stalin in the Burger Zeitung, a journalistic outlet for the Steuben Society. Trump, by the way, is very close to the Steuben Society. Just look at what is going on in Europe today.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
From GermanForeignPolicy.com, this feeds along the bottom of the front page of the spitfirelist.com website. This from January 18th of 2017, the moment of the Europeans. Germany's top politicians are calling on the EU to close ranks behind Europe's central power, Germany, following President-elect Donald Trump's recent declarations in an interview. Trump suggested the possibility of, quote, deals, unquote, with Russia, predicted the further disintegration of the EU, and pointed to Germany's dominant role within the EU. A new Russian-American world order is looming, according to Elmer, E-L-M-A-R, Brock, B-R-O-K, C-U, chairman of the European Parliament's Committee on Foreign Affairs. It is therefore imperative that the EU, quote, close ranks, unquote. Germany's Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier expressed a similar opinion. Wolfgang Ischinger, I-S-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, I may be mispronouncing some of these, probably am, chairman of the Munich Security Conference called for Russian and U.S. disarmament. Note this, Wolfgang Ischinger, chairman of the Munich Security Conference, called for Russian and U.S. disarmament and for enhancing the EU's militarization. He recommended that, quote, German nuclear armament, unquote, not be discussed, at least, quote, at the moment, unquote. Donald Trump's declarations in a recent interview had provoked Berlin's call for the EU to close ranks. In his interview with the German Bild and the British Times, Trump called NATO, quote, obsolete, unquote, because only five member countries are investing the generally agreed 2% of their respective GDPs in their armed forces. He also suggested the possibility of, quote, some good deals, unquote, with Russia, hailed the Brexit, and predicted that other members would lead the EU. He also pointed to Berlin's dominant role in the EU, a fact that is no longer denied in Europe's foreign policy establishment. Quote, you look at the European Union and it is Germany, basically a vehicle for Germany, unquote, Trump was quoted. An example, by the way, of a broken clock being right twice a day. Trump is basically right about Ukraine and Crimea and Russia. As I said in For the Record 918 and 919, I think that Trump's pronouncements are very much like the Bürgerzeitung letter and the Soviet response on March 10th, 1952, about 3 years later. This is aimed at producing a bidding war between Russia and the U.S. that will ultimately benefit Germany. And when we see Trump railing against the CIA and other things, bear in mind that the very right wing of the what the brilliant Berkeley researcher Peter Dale Scott has called the deep state is being governed by the underground Reich. The Russia did it. Disinformation about the high security, the high profile hacks is coming from people like Alexandra Chalupa and outfits like CrowdStrike, which both have strong links to the OUNB milieu that was vaulted to power in Ukraine. And ultimately, I think, again, as I've said, I think there will be some sort of accommodation by Russia vis-a-vis Ukraine in order to prevent a nuclear war. And Europe, too, and they don't want a nuclear war, and who the hell can blame them? Again, I don't know how long it is going to take, and I'm not going to make a fool out of myself by predicting in detail the individual steps that will lead to this, but mark my words, down the line, you will be seeing, barring a sea change that I would like to see, but I don't think will happen, you will be seeing NATO disintegrate simply because the U.S. is going to disintegrate and they're not going to be able to fund all the things they have, and because the people in Russia and Europe and China don't want to die in the nuclear war. And I think the economic collapse of the U.S., which is assured and which may very well lead to another global economic collapse, will help to cement the worldview that is going to go forward, that just as Nazi Germany has become something of a model pariah, the U.S. will become a model pariah, and generations as yet unborn will be warned by their parents and by their school textbooks, watch how the U.S. went down. We don't ever want to make those mistakes because we don't want our land poisoned by melted down nuclear power plants and cyber attacks on the power grid or wastewater treatment systems. We don't want an illiterate population with no health care and an unemployed population that doesn't have any money to buy products. And ultimately, that's what happened to the U.S. It was a work in progress, but the Trump administration brought it all to fruition and ruined America. I was told by a good friend that I should explain for the benefit of younger listeners who Caligula was. And Trump is basically an American Caligula. Caligula was a Roman emperor who was basically bat bleep insane. He made his Horus a member of the Roman Senate, which goes to show you how much better we are. We have the back ends of a great many Horuses in our Senate, but Caligula appointed just one, and it was the whole Horus. Caligula also made himself a god. We may yet see Trump, he named himself a god. We may yet see Trump do that. But it helped to hasten the downfall of Rome. Caligula did all sorts of awful things. He was insane. And so is Trump. It would not surprise me ultimately to see Trump cashiered by the deep state. Certainly he is at war with the CIA. On the other hand, the people behind Trump, read the Underground Reich, have really played this very well, and Trump has given corporate America everything they want. The pronouncements about American corporations. Now, suddenly, you know, they're going to start building plants in the U.S. Almost all of that was already in the works before Trump came to power. A lot of it is PR, and because Trump is going to slash the corporate tax rate. Already one of the America's corporate tax rate is one of the lowest in the world. You would never know that. And because Trump is going to give huge tax breaks to the wealthy, and the Congressional Budget Office has already been legislated in such a way as being unable to report the facts about the deficit. And because deregulation is going to go across the board, including Wall Street, where Mr. Clayton, a partner for Sullivan and Cromwell, is going to head up the SEC. And my guess is that the hallucinatory investment vehicles that we saw bringing things down in 2008 will be resuscitated. Indeed, they already have been resuscitated. And it is going to be Katie bar the door. More about that in a minute.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Continuing with the moment of the Europeans. The prospect that Washington, under Trump, could reach agreements with Moscow on international policy issues without the EU, watch for the bidding war that I've warned about, which for years has been crippled with crisis and actually is facing disintegration, has provoked indignant reactions from German foreign policymakers and appeals to close ranks. Quote, if we fail now to close ranks in the field of security and foreign policy, we will be faced with a new world order under Russia's President Putin and the new U.S. President Trump. Elmar Brok, chairman of the European Parliament Committee on Foreign Affairs, contended on Monday. Already at the beginning of the year, Wolfgang Ischinger, chair of the Munich Security Conference, had called for the EU to, quote, speak more in unison in the future, unquote, and certainly not in the, quote, cacophony of 27 or 28 European heads of state and governments, unquote. Germany's foreign minister, who will soon become Germany's president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, declared following a meeting with his EU counterparts last Monday that it has, quote, perhaps become again clearer to one or the other just how important it is that Europe stands together and assumes common positions, unquote. Brok packaged his plea for a pan-EU closing of ranks into an appeal. This is now the moment of the Europeans, unquote. And again, this is the end of the American century. Continuing. In Berlin, the contention is making the rounds that an eventual rapprochement between Washington and Moscow could be politically advantageous, not least of all, to put the power struggle over Ukraine on ice. This would permit, and I've been talking about this, this would permit a rollback of sanctions on Russia and creates new room for German companies to make lucrative business deals with the East without relinquishing one's own positions. Thus, Ischinger alleges to have heard, quote, courageous voices, unquote, in Kiev who are prepared to forego membership in NATO. Quote, a new U.S. President Trump could talk to President Poroshenko in Kiev and Putin in Moscow and offer Ukraine security guarantees in exchange for renunciation of NATO membership, unquote, explained the prominent diplomat. It is also important that U.S.-Russian negotiations reach an agreement on a new round in arms control. Disarmament must be sought. Quote, more trust must be established again between the militaries, between NATO and Russia, unquote. I would make a plea for round-the-clock jointly run crisis control center, for a round-the-clock jointly run crisis control center on neutral territory, unquote. Ischinger did not mention whether he would consider Germany a suitable site. While calling for Russia and U.S. disarmament, Ischinger speaks out also for the further militarization of German and EU policy. Putin, unquote, meaning the conflicts concerning Ukraine and Syria, has clearly, quote, demonstrated how absolutely wrong it is to contend that there can be no military solutions, he explained, because the EU did not openly intervene militarily against, quoting, we Europeans have once again been banned to the sidelines, a spectator position which is not the appropriate role for the EU, the world's largest trading and economic power with a population of 500 million people, unquote. He, quote, would like to see that no responsible German politician, unquote, will repeat the sentence, there can be no military solutions. In fact, the EU is preparing under German pressure a considerable expansion of its foreign policy and military activities. Even in transatlantic relations, there is, quote, no guarantee of cooperation for eternity with us Europeans, unquote, declared Chancellor Merkel last week. That is why Europe must considerably expand its radius of political and military action. Ischinger has begun to take the question of German nuclear armament into consideration. Currently, it is better to avoid a debate on the EU's own nuclear arsenal, unquote, the German diplomat declared. The nuclear power Great Britain is leaving the EU while the nuclear power France is not, quote, willing and capable of, quote, Europeanizing its nuclear potential. I would take that with a grain of salt. In fact, France is moving in the direction of being part of an all-EU military. The much-publicized Brexit, in fact, engineered by forces very much allied with Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, his Nazi advisor, were involved with that, and it removed one of the major goals to an all-EU army. Britain was opposed to that. Continuing. However, quote, at the moment, unquote, it would be a political mistake to debate an alternative of arming Germany with nuclear weapons, unquote. Also, quote, because we would provide an argument to critics in Moscow and in Europe that the central power Germany not only seeks to dominate Europe with financial policy, but also in violation of all treaties, joint control over nuclear weapons, unquote. Ischinger did not elaborate on what conditions could invalidate his argument of temporal limitation at the moment, unquote, nor did he express conclusive arguments against Germany's acquiring nuclear weapons. Again, this is the bidding war. I expect long-term, I don't know the time frame, for some sort of concession by Russia over Ukraine, already hinted there, and in exchange for the U.S. not posting troops on Russia's border and upgrading its nuclear arsenal and going absolutely all bat bleep out for a new Cold War, there would be concessions by Russia on Ukraine. That would basically establish Ukraine as a breadbasket for Europe. Food corporations are moving in there big time. More about that perhaps in a future program. And the vast natural resources of Russia will be opened up to Germany and the EU and the Pan-Eurasian Economic Union. I don't know what its formal title is off the top of my head. That will be joined to some sort of European Economic Union, maybe not an EU or an EMU, but it will be Europe-wide and dominated by Germany. Note that corporate Germany already dominates corporate Europe. So even if the EU actually dissolves, Germany will rule the roost. And with the Trump administration rattling sabers at China, having now pulled out of the TPP, which was directed against China, China is, a trade war notwithstanding, going to grow more powerful in Asia. And ultimately, I think you are going to see Germany the leading, and the EU be a leading trade partner with the entire Earth Island, stretching from, again, Lisbon to Vladivostok, and including China. The U.S., meanwhile, is going to go down. Trump, the things that he is doing and the people he is appointing can only spell ruin for the U.S. Just a sample from the NextGov website of January 24th of this year by Mohana Ravindranath, Ravindranath. What does Trump's hiring freeze mean for federal cyber shortage? On his first official day in office after inauguration, President Donald Trump has made good on his plan to institute a federal hiring freeze, part of his effort to slash the federal workforce. Details are sparse. Trump has said that there would be exceptions for the military, and a White House memo notes the freeze would be waived, quote, when necessary to meet national or public safety responsibilities, unquote. Some experts fear a temporary hiring freeze could exacerbate a chronic problem in the federal government, a widespread shortage of cybersecurity talent. A hiring freeze could signal to essential cybersecurity talent, especially those who might consider joining the public sector from higher-paying industry jobs, that there is no need or desire for them in the federal government. Alan Chvotkin, Chvotkin, executive president of the Professional Services Council, told NextGov. And it could have a, quote, number of potential negative repercussions, including growth in contractors that are making important technical decisions that the federal government should be making, unquote, former White House Deputy Chief Technology Officer Nick Sinai told NextGov. That is just one of the many areas that, you know, cutting the budget, freezing federal hiring, and ending deregulations of all kinds is going to impact the U.S. ISIS, by the way, was very much pulling for Trump's election because his anti-Muslim policies will benefit them. It will polarize the Muslim population in this country and others. That is what they want. ISIS is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is not a harmless political front, as its defenders have maintained. It is an Islamic fascist organization dating back to World War II and promoting corporatist economics. And its street-level recruiters are basically using, as fascists all do, whether they're the European fascists who are using Muslims as the demonized other, the Indian fascists of the RSS who are using Muslims as the demonized other, the Islamic fascists of the ISIS slash Muslim Brotherhood ilk are pointing to the anti-Muslims and the, quote, infidels, Christians and Jews as the demonized other. And they are saying, you see, they will never accept us. We are your only hope. Unite with us and against them. And ISIS and other Islamic terrorist slash fascist groups are acquiring cybersecurity capabilities, and sooner or later, some malefactor, or perhaps just some lone malefactor with the tech skills to do it, is going to do something awful. One of the reasons I have been so supportive of the NSA, warts and all, and there is no shortage of warts vis-a-vis the Snowden thing, is because in the cyber age, in the digital age, we have, I couldn't say sleepwalked, but we have sleep sprinted into a whole new era. Now, one lone nut or one lone malefactor with the skills to do so and the laptop can bring down a nuclear power plant, and that will be the end. Watch what happens to the stock markets then. It is not a question of whether Trump's policies are going to ruin this country, but just which ones. He is going to gut health care and Social Security and Medicare. Old folks are going to buy the health care system, and the insurance industry are going to take a major hit. Even though American manufacturers are getting what they want, deregulation and a lowering of the corporate tax rate, ultimately those things which are going to permit them to put poisons wherever they want, whether it's into the air, the water, or into products that are being sold to the public, including products they hope to sell overseas, but which will not be marketable because they will be toxic/dangerous, and also the practices of manufacturing those are going to be deregulated. People will, on the assembly lines, people in factories will no longer have safety regulations. They will be forced to work too long at too little pay under dangerous conditions. They won't have the health care they want, and they are going to die. They're going to be eating poisoned food. They are going to be breathing poisoned air. They are going to be drinking poisoned water. The EPA is being headed up by the former Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma, who constantly worked against the EPA and who had 8 pending lawsuits on behalf of the state of Oklahoma against the EPA when he moved to take charge of it. That is representative of Trump's appointments. The guy who's going to head up the Energy Department, Rick Perry of Texas, said in his presidential run that the Energy Department should be, his primary presidential run, that the Energy Department should be disbanded. Now he's heading it up, and the Energy Department oversees nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons, and also the disposition of nuclear waste. Deregulating that, cutting the budgets of that administration, and you can bet that will happen, will lead to something horrifying. Rick Perry is going to be heading up one of the most important agencies of the government, one that is in control of technology, the implications of which is unimaginable past a point, or are unimaginable past a point. And the bottom line is that Rick Perry couldn't tell a dirt road from a chicken with lips. Sooner or later, we're going to have a Homer Simpson in the nuclear power plant go, "Doo! Marge, the plant's melting down." And that will be that. It's not a question of what's going to happen, but when, where, and how. I think we can expect multiple meltdowns or multiple Flint, Michigans. And all kinds of other things are going to happen. Trump wants to cut taxes on the wealthy and build up the military. That's what the defense industry wants. That's what the military wants. You've got plenty of generals in the cabinet. And so that will drastically increase the budget. And already the Congressional Budget Office has been legislated in such a way as to prevent telling the truth about just how bad the federal deficits are, at least until our economy collapses, probably taking the global economy with it. We have people like Andrew Puzder, P-U-Z-D-E-R, who's been nominated to be the Secretary of Labor. From the Washington Post, December 8th of 2016, Donald Trump's pick for Labor Secretary has said machines are cheaper and easier to manage than humans. This by Stephen Overly, O-V-E-R-L-Y. Fast food executive Andrew Puzder, who President-elect Donald Trump is expected to tap as Labor Secretary, has advocated replacing some human workers with machines as a way for businesses to reduce costs associated with rising wages and health care expenses. While machines require regular maintenance and can sometimes malfunction, Puzder said, they are also easier to manage than humans and don't pose the same legal risks. Quote, they're always polite. They always upsell. They never take a vacation. They never show up late. There's never a slip and fall or an age, sex, or race discrimination case, unquote. Puzder, P-U-Z-D-E-R, told Business Insider in March. Puzder serves as the chief executive of CKE, that's Charlie Kangaroo Eric Restaurants, the corporate parent behind fast food chains Hardee's and Carl's Jr. Well, Puzder is absolutely correct in his analysis here, but there's something else machines don't do. They never buy food at Carl's Jr. or Hardee's or Burger King or McDonald's or any other fast food chain. In fact, machines never buy anything at all. And that is part of the huge disconnect that afflicts corporate America. Yeah, you cut people's wages. What needs to be done to reduce what's left of the union movement. You use automation to replace people. Well, that may improve your bottom line for the time being, but there comes a point where that reaches critical mass and there just aren't enough people out there to buy the products that they are making. What are you going to do then? That's like that old Negro spiritual. Boy, does that sound quaint at this distance in time. You know, where are you going to run to, sinner man? What you going to do when you replace people with machines? Good enough. Cut their wages. Yep, no minimum wage, no federal minimum wage of $15. But there is going to come a point where there aren't going to be enough people with enough money to buy the products that are being marketed by corporate America. And that isn't going to do a whole lot for consumer confidence. Yep, the unions for the time being are cheering the TPP. Wait till they have no health care. Wait till there are no safety regulations in the workplace. And Trump, as one of his very first acts in office, issued an executive order suspending 75% of all federal regulations. The New York Times was one of the few media voices in an editorial that noted what Congress is doing with regard to regulation. They are legislating in such a way as to make it next to impossible for Congress to regulate against dangerous chemicals in this, that, or the other thing, or dangerous technology, or imposing new safety regulations. Basically, if it's made in America, it is going to be unhealthy or dangerous as hell or both at the rate things are going.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
Our already enfeebled media establishment isn't going to be doing very much about it, I fear. They can say what they want about Donald Trump, but he has already been very successful in labeling criticism of him fake news, unquote. In the book Serpent's Walk, I noted that the underground Reich would take over this country in the mid-21st century after a series of terrorist incidents using weapons of mass destruction led to the declaration of martial law, and the opinion-forming media, which had been taken over by the underground SS and the underground Reich, would be used to convince America and Americans to turn away from multiculturalism, unquote, and, quote, government-enforced equality, unquote. Now, Donald Trump's top advisor, Steve Bannon, quote, alt-right, unquote, Reed Nauty, very smart guy, too, in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, Stephen Bannon, the former editor-in-chief of Breitbart, noted, said, darkness is good. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, interesting grouping, that one. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, when they are blind to who we are and what, it always helps us when they are blind to who we are and what we're doing. Steve Bannon is a bright guy. I admire him. It's a grudging admiration. I oppose what he is and what he does and what he stands for, but he is a bright guy, and he knows full well who we are as Nazis, and what we are doing is the imposition of what was delineated in Serpent's Walk. Watch it happen. And he was the former editor-in-chief of Breitbart, a key element of the opinion-forming media, unquote. Americans are going to be uneducated, from Mother Jones of January and February of 2017 by Christina, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Rizga, or Rizga, R-I-Z-G-A, I don't know how it is pronounced, Bully Pulpit, subtitle, Why Restoring Civics Education to America's Classrooms is More Important Than Ever. Yeah, well, I don't think Betsy DeVos is likely to do that. Listen to the following. You think I'm being pessimistic? Listen. When, in 2011, the World Values Survey asked U.S. citizens in their late teens and early 20s whether democracy was a good way to run the country, about a quarter said it was, quote, bad, unquote, or, quote, very bad, unquote, an increase of one-third since the late 1990s. Among citizens of all ages, one in six now say it would be fine for the, quote, army to rule, unquote, up from one in 16 in 1995. In a different national survey, about two-thirds of Americans could not name all three branches of the federal government or which party controlled the House of Representatives. In the third study, almost half of the respondents said the government should be permitted to prohibit a peaceful march. As the government becomes more dysfunctional, as people find it increasingly difficult to get their income tax returned or their Social Security check or anything having to do with Medicare or any other government-provided service, because the government is being gutted and turned over to corporate America, the already uneducated American public and increasingly uneducated American public are going to respond positively to the questions asked in that survey. The government won't work. People say, you know, we need the man on the white horse, or we need the army, or democracy is bad. It doesn't work. We need to do something. Well, something will be done. I've spoken many times about the underground Reich. One of the elements I have spoken of as comprising it, I have not emphasized this, are the Habsburgs. They were the ruling family of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Habsburgs were in power for 600 years. If we go back, of course, 600 years from today, we are in the year 1417. It would be another three-quarters of a century since Columbus would sail. That is a long time. Well, the Austro-Hungarian Empire disintegrated at the end of World War I, but the Habsburgs did not go away, and their associated aristocracies did not go away. We have spoken about Carl von Habsburg, who married Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza of the Thyssen-Bornemisza family, a key element of the Bormann Flight Capital Network, the remarkable and deadly Bormann organization, which is the economic component of the Underground Reich. It dominates corporate Germany and, through stock holdings and cartel agreements, the world economy as a whole at the stage of the game. And again, the Habsburgs are married in to the Bormann organization. Carl von Habsburg has since divorced Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza. That, however, is a formality. Otto von Habsburg, his father, formed the European Freedom Council with Jaroslav Stetko. He was the wartime head of state of the Ukraine Nazi collaborationist government under Stefan Bandera and the OUNB that are now once again back in power in Ukraine. The Habsburgs are very active in Ukraine. Western Ukraine, or Galicia, was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. By the way, when Otto von Habsburg formed the European Freedom Council, I think some idea of what he meant by freedom can be gleaned from the fact that he was a member of the Free Rudolf Hess Committee, a key element, a key subsidiary of the Altaqua Network in Liechtenstein, was headed up by Martin Wachter. He was a relative of the ruling family of Liechtenstein, and the House of Liechtenstein is an annex of the House of Habsburg. The UNPO, the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, which is lobbying for the independence of various ethnic groups, including, by the way, the Lakota and other Native American tribes that sit in the same area as the Standing Rock Sioux, whose worthy cause protesting the Dakota pipeline was blown away with one stroke of the pen by Donald Trump. The Habsburgs and the other European powers took a look at the U.S. and they saw a blip. They ruled for 600 years. We are already in decline after, let's say, about 2.5 centuries. And they looked at us and they said, America's a blip. Democracy is a blip. We will bide our time. We will infiltrate them. And along with the Underground Reich, the SS, the Gestapo, the Bormann Network, and the Galen Organization, and the corrupt industrialists and financiers who loved fascism, we will undermine it from within, and we will use their own values to destroy them. We should not fail to take note of that. It's just a question of what is going to get us first. And again, not only did the European royal houses look at America and say, man, we're going to get rid of that, but Germany, too, took a look at us and said, you know, we've lost 2 world wars because of America. But the European elites and the aristocracies and the crowned heads of Europe said, you know, it was America that first revolted, became the first colony to declare independence. And that was followed by Haiti, the French Revolution, overthrew the French monarchy. We're going to get them. And Germany said, we're going to get them. And just like an old dog with a softball-sized tumor in its stomach and cataracts that can't walk, is incontinent, we are going to be put down. Trump is railing against NAFTA and these other things. If he does what he says he is going to do in doing what he is already doing, it will massively increase the deficit. That will increase U.S. interest rates, which will not only slow business growth here, it will make the dollar impossibly strong for American exports to be competitive. And again, he knows nothing about what is really going on. He's railing against our trade surplus, trade deficit with Canada and Mexico. That is mostly over oil and natural gas imports, which will now increase. I'll just witness the XL pipeline, the Keystone pipeline that he has resuscitated. On the other hand, products like insurance and Hollywood movies, etc., we actually have a trade surplus with those countries, which may very well retaliate against us. It's a question of what is going to bring us down first. I think overall, down the line, we will see not only capital flight from the U.S., which will be seen as a very bad place to invest, but a brain drain as well. Anybody with any brains and any marketable skill will go to a civilized country. I think we are going to be destroyed. Ultimately, the swastika and the SS death's head will rule over America and the world, and the blazing fires that reduce our civilization to ashes will be quenched only by the rivers of tears and oceans of blood of the victims. That's what's coming. People have asked me, well, Dave, you know, what does this hold for me personally? You know what it holds for you personally? People may be familiar with the old vulgar expression, eat S blank, 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 and die. That is what you are going to do in that order. You are going to eat S blank, 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 and then you are going to die. Because this is the end of this country. It's sad, but, well, that's the way it goes. This concludes For the Record program number 944, Fireside Rant, the Caligulization of the U.S. and the End of the American Century. This is being recorded on January 26th of the year 2017. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.